Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. First John chapter 1. I love the opening four verses. I love the whole thing, but the opening four verses for today are important for us. Now, 1 John is one of the gospel writer John, one of his letters that he wrote. And this one, 1 John, reads a little more like a sermon if you follow it all the way through. It's not a long book. You can read it all the way through. And it sounds a little bit more like a sermon than a letter. And so we'll begin as if it were a sermon. John is proclaiming the risen Christ, plain and simple. And he's proclaiming it from the view that he was one and is one that has seen and touched Jesus. He knows Christ is risen because he was there when Jesus appeared, and he was one of the eyewitnesses of what happened and how it all came down. So he begins this letter by saying, "Trust me, I was one who saw it." So we want to kind of take note of Jesus' words, or John's words, in what he's saying, beginning, and it sounds a little weird, because he's referring to Jesus as like a, almost as an object. He's saying, that which was from the beginning. So, he doesn't say who was from the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. So the presence of Jesus was from the beginning. Now, if you know John's gospel, it begins at the beginning, right? John's gospel begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God from the beginning," right? So he's reiterating something he's already proclaimed in his gospel, that Jesus is eternal, that Jesus has been there since the creation began, and he will be here all the way through eternity. And John is one of the lucky few who, or chosen few, fortunate few, who are there to see him, hear him, and be with him. So his proclamation in his letter, 1 John, is the same as his proclamation in his gospel, that Jesus has always been and always will be and always is. This is who Jesus is. So that's our proclamation, right? That's what we say about Jesus, that he was there from the beginning, he has always been, he always is, and always will be Jesus as God in the flesh. Now, how do we know he was God in the flesh? What does that come across in John's letter? Well, John says, which we have heard, right? So John was there to hear Jesus. To hear Jesus speaking, to hear Jesus praying, to hear Jesus doing what Jesus does. John is one who was with him to hear him. So we can trust John's word, right? That he was there to hear Jesus, hear the words of Jesus coming out of his mouth. He was there. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now, why is it important that he sees him with his eyes? Because later, when he writes Revelation, because John wrote Revelation as well, he will see Jesus in a vision, right? Which is similar to a dream or some state other than seeing him with his eyes. But here he says, no, we saw him with our eyes, with the eyes that I'm seeing with now as I write this. And these are the eyes that saw Jesus. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. Those are different. We saw Jesus with our eyes. That is so important. Because a lot of people down through history will claim to have seen visions. They will claim to have seen these angelic beings. They will claim to have seen all of these things. And John's saying, well, that's all well and good, but we saw Jesus with our eyes. And not just me, John says, but we, as in the other disciples as well, saw Jesus with our eyes. And not only when he was alive with us in that first incarnation, but when he was there with us in his resurrection and glorified body, we saw him with our eyes. And then he says, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. Now, what's different between looking upon and seeing with our eyes? Well, it's inspecting, right? We looked upon and touched with our hands. He showed us his hands and his sides, and we looked at them closely. We inspected them. I mentioned this in Bible class. There's a painting by Caravaggio about Thomas and Thomas inspecting Jesus in his glorified body. And it's really a little gross, because it's not some angelic mystical Jesus. It's a real Jesus, and Thomas's finger is poking into the side of Jesus. And you see like the skin kind of wrinkling as Caravaggio paints it, and the look of that's what it's called, the incredulity of Thomas or something like that. And so there's this look on their faces like, what in the world is going on? And he's poking. We inspected, we looked upon and touched with our hands. So we've seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him. Jesus is real. He's not make-believe. He's not simply some vision in a dream. He was real. And we saw him and heard him and touched him and looked at his hands. We even looked at the holes and saw through it. Who knows? We know this Jesus who was from the beginning. And then he goes into some wonderful language about Jesus being the Word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it. The life. Jesus is the light, which is the life of men. Jesus brings life. And John is saying, we were with him. We got to hear him and see him and touch. He was the life. We know Jesus. He was made manifest. In other words, he was there physically with us. It wasn't just this whole new idea of manifesting things. You know, if we think more positively about it, it will come to be. No, he wasn't, again, some mystical thing. He was real. And we touched him. And this is what we're testifying to, he says. We testify to this. In other words, we're going to stake our lives on this testimony that Jesus is real. And that he is the Jesus who is there from the beginning, who is there in the middle and is there forever. This is the Jesus we saw, we heard, we touched. And so then he goes on to say, that we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that we may have fellowship with us. What is in it for the gospel writers? What is in it for the apostles to proclaim Jesus? What did they get out of it? Dead is what they get out of it. Right? They're not in it for personal gain. They're not in it for notoriety. They're not in it to become famous. They're in it because in Christ we have fellowship with one another. They're in it for you. They're in it for me. They're in it for all of those who have believed their words that they proclaim as gospel. They're in it for you. They're not in it for them. They don't get anything out of it except punishment from the world around them. They don't get anything out of it except exile, as John does. They don't get anything out of it except a sure and certain death in their circumstances. What has any martyr gotten out of the proclamation of the gospel throughout the centuries but death? That's what you get out of it. But what John is in this for is for fellowship, for connection. He wants all of those who hear this to be one with him, so that in his words, in his hearing, in his seeing, in his touching and inspecting, they can believe too. As he says at the end of our gospel reading, all of these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing have life in his name. That's what John wants for you. And for any who would read his gospel or hear his gospel, he wants fellowship, because fellowship with him and with Jesus means life. That's what he wants. That's what we want. That's what I want as pastor. I want life for you. That's why I do what I do, because the proclamation of the gospel trumps everything, and it means life for you. To hear the gospel proclaimed, to hear that your sins are forgiven, to hear that Jesus is real for you means life. That's what we're here for. We're here for the life that Jesus can bring. But we are those who haven't seen, haven't heard, haven't touched and inspected. Not like John has. But we still have heard. Right down through the years, we have heard the gospel proclaimed. We hear it at least once a week, hopefully more. You hear the gospel proclaimed. You hear the word read. You hear it presented to you. You hear it proclaimed and testified that Jesus is real. You hear that. And you see it. Each week you see it as you look around and you see the fellowship of believers, the body of Christ assembled in one place. You see the fellowship and life that Jesus brings. And you can inspect it. You can touch that life as you embrace one another, as you shake hands with one another, as you greet one another. Jesus is present. He is real. He is here with us. This is the fellowship that John longs for those he proclaims the gospel to you and me. He says, and in writing this, we write these things so that our joy may be complete. The completion of joy. It's that time when it all comes together. You ever have that feeling when you've been working on a project for so long and it's got bits and pieces, but then all of a sudden it all just comes together? You're like, yeah, I got that. I did that. I worked on that, and now it all comes together. Sky, when you guys are working on productions with the Bravos kids, right? And you got sound, and you've got technical stuff, and you've got costumes, and you've got music, and you've got all of these pieces, and then we all gather for the event, and it all comes together. And while a lot of times in our lives it may come together almost perfectly, we know what that joy, that complete joy, is like. And Jesus and John, in their proclamations, want you to have that joy too. When it all comes together. Now, on this side of heaven, as we always say, our joy will always be almost complete. Almost. Joy is not perfect until we're joyful in the kingdom eternal. But boy, today when we gather and we celebrate the risen Christ, it's awfully close. It's awfully close. So we celebrate that joy. We celebrate that testimony. We celebrate that proclamation that Jesus is real. For you and for me, Jesus is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah and amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guide our hearts and minds, and guard it always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.